administration has finally seen the light on Cambodia. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the Cold War's over, so why are we still waging it in Cambodia? For months, the administration has been providing military aid to a coalition fighting to overthrow the communist government there, even though our policy will almost certainly lead to the return of the murderous Khmer Rouge, the dominant force in the coalition we're aiding. When the Khmer Rouge seized power in the 1970s, they murdered millions of Cambodians in one of the most brutal examples of genocide in modern history. Later, Vietnam invaded Cambodia and deposed the Khmer Rouge. But the Vietnamese withdrew last year, and the Khmer Rouge are threatening to take over again. Recognizing that reality, the Bush administration is finally changing course, but not fast enough. They've withdrawn our diplomatic support of the Khmer Rouge coalition at the United Nations. Why not go all the way, Al, and cut off our military support, too?
Ted, get the old facts straight here. We haven't sent one thin dime to the Khmer Rouge. Matter of fact, the U.S. has sent plenty of covert bucks over there to undermine this vicious group's grab for power, for they deeply concern the Bush administration. Ted, you were highly critical of your pal Jimmy Carter's handling of the Cambodian situation when he was president. You should have been. During the time the Democrats had the White House and both houses of Congress, over a million people died in those killing fields while Americans were left in the dark. That's sure a tragedy we cannot afford to repeat. So why don't you and your Democratic buddies who now control the Congress stop dragging your brogans and pass the $7 million in aid that the president wants to give the non-communist guerrillas who oppose the Khmer Rouge and who want to prevent them from taking power? So put your money where your mouth is, Ted. It just could prevent another genocide. Or is your commitment solely to overthinking the issue and doing nothing? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Under one completely goofy farm program, foreigners can buy American-grown peanuts cheaper than what you and I spend for those goobers. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, let's get rid of the old peanut quota in this farm bill. No American farmer since 41 has been allowed to grow any peanuts without first receiving government permission. The government gives this in the form of a peanut growing license. Believe it. Back in the 40s, the government dealt out these licenses like a poker hand to any old soul. But today, no new licenses are issued, and farmers are forced to buy, beg, or even rent a permit from somebody else. And without a license, the farmer can't sell peanuts in his own country. What a nutty idea. We need a butter one. Ted, this is supposed to be the land of the free. If Congress wants to support the price of peanuts, let's do it the way we help the farmers of corn, wheat, or barley. This is a real shell game.
Al, the peanut program is a hard nut to crack. There's no rational justification for it, or for many other current federal farm programs. Back in the Depression years, peanuts were included in the farm support system, and peanut farmers have been protected by the federal government ever since. Unlike other crops, the peanut program is not a budget buster. The federal government regulates the supply of peanuts by using a quota system. It limits the number of peanut farmers, limits the amount of peanuts in the U.S. market, blocks foreign imports, and thereby keeps the prices high. That may be a cozy deal for privileged peanut farmers, Al, but it's a raw deal for American consumers. They have to shell out an extra $300 million a year because of artificially high prices guaranteed by Uncle Sam. Peanut farmers may be fat and happy, Al, but it's time for Congress to end this abusive consumer ripoff. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the Civil Rights Act of 1990. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. If President Bush keeps an open mind, he'll support, not oppose, the Civil Rights Act of 1990. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, you right-wingers are falsely shouting quotas in your cynical scheme to kill the Civil Rights Act of 1990 and block its anti-discrimination provisions. If we were writing on a blank slate, your argument might have some credibility. But all we're doing is restoring the anti-bias law to what it was for 18 years before the Supreme Court undermined it in 1989. We know what happened in those 18 years, Al. There's not a shred of credible evidence that the law forced any employer in America to adopt quotas. What it did was stop employers from discriminating and help millions of workers win their battle against race and sex discrimination on the job. Quotas, schmotas, Al. Quotas are not the issue. Job discrimination is the issue. If the president cares about civil rights, he'll support this legislation.
Ted, you're like an old phonograph record on this one. Stop ignoring facts in favor of racist-tinged rhetoric. Your civil rights bill is a quota bill, pure and simple. Ted, as it now stands, your bill says that an employer can be sued if the racial makeup of his workforce does not match the statistical ethnic breakdown that exists in the surrounding community population. That alone is going to force every company in the country to place quotas on themselves for fear of suits. With the threat of paying unlimited damages and having to pick up the attorney's fees of any disgruntled employee who wants to sue, every boss in America is going to be in shock, and then ignore the best qualified candidate for the job in favor of the job applicant who helps to meet the quota, to keep the company from being sued and the doors of the business open. Ted, you've tried to pass an awful lot of welfare bills in your time, but never one that helps attorneys more than the poor guy on the street. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on a disturbing move that could help third world countries build nuclear weapons. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The Cold War might be over, but in an irresponsible move, the West may be making it easier for the third world to build the bomb. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, I think it's just great stuff that the wall between East and West has crumbled. But in our earnest eagerness to open it up, the U.S. made a serious blunder. On July 1st, export controls over sensitive technology, the kind that goes into nuclear hardware, were lifted. Now any nation hell-bent on building the bomb can purchase over-the-counter nuclear triggers, plasma torches, or high-speed oscilloscopes. What just a few months ago was illegal to export from NATO countries can now be shipped by the metric ton to Eastern Europe, and from there to any dark corner of the world. Ted, in our headlong rush for peace, let's make certain we don't sow the seeds of our own destruction. We should still be wary.
Amen, Al. The nuclear club's too big already. It's preposterous to relax restrictions on exports of high-technology materials and devices that make it easier for more nations to go nuclear. The new breezes of freedom sweeping through Europe and other corners of the world are no excuse for relaxing our guard. As arms control proceeds with Moscow, let's give more priority to halting the spread of nuclear weapons and impose effective international sanctions against any country that refuses to go along with reasonable controls. Almost any regional conflict could suddenly become a nuclear flashpoint. The key to preventing any such catastrophe is to make the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty of 1968 work. Throughout the years of the escalating U.S.-Soviet nuclear arms race, we paid lip service to the treaty, but gave it low priority. Now that the Cold War has ended, President Bush ought to start giving that all-important treaty the high priority it deserves. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Congress did the right thing in turning thumbs down on a constitutional amendment to require a balanced budget. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, if Congress doesn't have the will to balance the budget, amending the Constitution won't save us. That's why the House of Representatives did the right thing the other day when it rejected your smoke and mirrors proposal to write a balanced budget amendment into the Constitution. We all agree that the deficit is out of control. As recently as last January, the administration estimated next year's deficit at $100 billion. Last week, they raised the estimate astronomically to $168 billion. $231 billion if you count the savings and loan mess. $300 billion without the Social Security surplus Congress is raiding. Hiding behind a feel-good constitutional amendment is a cop-out. The Constitution can't make the tough decisions for us. Stop posturing about the Constitution, Al. It's time for Congress and the administration to start earning their pay.
Ted, you've spent an entire legislative life blowing taxpayers' money. Nobody is hiding behind a constitutional amendment. We supporters of that idea think Congress will never have the political courage to reduce deficit spending. Can you tell us what deficit plan you are for? Do you support the line item veto that would give the president the power to trim spending where the real fat, waste, pork, and fraud occur? Do you ever vote against these bloated spending bills year after year, or do you let billions of bucks slip through your fingers in a lighthearted way without giving a second thought? And Ted, wasn't that you who stood right up and said that any peace dividend savings from the military should be spent on social programs? Couldn't that money reduce the deficit? Ted, if the average American bounced checks the way Congress does, they'd be tossed in the clink. You're the biggest spender of all time, the heavyweight champion of the Senate. Lectures. Oh. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. All of us who remember the oil embargo of the 70s also remember how we said it'll never happen again. Are we keeping that promise? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, America was truly once held hostage by OPEC. Twice in the 70s, we stood in lines were outraged by pump shortages. That is, until the sly ones at OPEC doubled the price and turned the spigot back on. America's dependence on foreign oil is now over 50%. That's higher than at any time during the oil embargo. The ghastly war between Iraq and Iran has ended, and a new one starts up with Kuwait. And last week, OPEC agreed to maintain production levels till prices climb. We've never been more vulnerable to OPEC. Your inaction has shut down most domestic production and thrown 300,000 workers out of jobs over these past years. I know you're hooked on the pork barrel, Ted, but that's no reason why you should let OPEC get us over their barrel.
Al, Iraq's vicious invasion of Kuwait reminds us how vulnerable our country is when OPEC tightens the oil screws. But your approach, bailing out the U.S. oil industry, won't work, Al. Their interests don't always coincide with our national interests or our national security. Granted, we needed to defend against OPEC cutoffs and exorbitant price hikes. We rely too much on foreign oil. But there are better ways than bailing out big oil. Conservation is working. Adjusting for GNP, we're now using only 2/3 the oil we used in the early 1970s. We're also doing better at developing alternative energy sources, especially natural gas, but also gasohol, solar energy, and hydroelectric power. We've also got the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, a year's supply of oil tucked away in salt domes in Louisiana to tide us through a crisis. Stop cheerleading for big oil, Big Al. These other efforts have more promise. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on his opposition to campaign financing reform. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Campaign spending limits are the heart of election reform. Why is Senator Al Simpson against them? In a moment, we'll face off. Al, people are fed up with campaign financing abuses and fat cat political contributions that make conflict of interest a way of life in Congress. They're fed up with public officials who spend more time raising money from special interests instead of tending to the public interest. The SNL scandal is the last straw. The constant hunt for campaign dollars demeans the process of elections and undermines the foundation of our democracy. But it doesn't faze you, Al. After months of effort, a bipartisan reform proposal fell apart because Republicans refused to accept limits on the amount of money that candidates can spend in their campaigns. Spending limits are the heart of election reform. They've worked well in presidential elections, and we need them in congressional elections, too. Bluster all you want, Al, but if you're not for spending limits, you're not for real reform.
No bluster, Ted. I'll give you real reform. Let's get rid of political action committees. You know those special interest groups pretty well. You ought to. The Washington Post reports they've given you $1,975,407 since records were kept. Did they get what they paid for? And if you want some more real reform, let's place tough limits on out-of-state contributions and get rid of soft money, sewer money, that is now unaccounted for. A cap on spending doesn't do a thing unless the American people can be assured of full disclosure on where a candidate gets his money in the first place, the source. You can stand tall and pretend reform, Ted, but what the Democrats in the Senate really want is a campaign reform bill that preserves incumbents and one that the president will veto. So you jammed it all up with spending caps and making taxpayers pay for our campaigns and pass the buck to Bush. Boy. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on Nelson Mandela's support for Gaddafi, Castro, and Arafat. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Countries all over the earth are turning their backs on communism. So why does South Africa's Nelson Mandela lead the charge towards this discredited form of government? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, you welcomed Mandela with open arms to America. Maybe you can explain for us his incendiary remarks calling Gaddafi, Castro, and Arafat his comrades in arms. Clearly, those three cats are responsible for most of the world's terrorism and human rights violations. So why does he want to sidle up to those bums? Thomas Jefferson would never have hung out with Al Capone. And most confusing of all is Mandela's embrace of communism at a recent rally. Before a huge crowd, he pledged full support to the ideals of communism. A time warp. Maybe we shouldn't be surprised, since half of his top guys in the ANC are hardline Marxists. So most of the communist world is throwing off the yoke of oppression, Ted. Why does your buddy Mandela go the other way? What's he really up to?
Al, have you ever heard of apartheid? Nelson Mandela has millions of friends and supporters today, but there was a time when he didn't. The CIA helped put him in jail in South Africa in the 1960s. For years, the United States collaborated with the racist system of apartheid that oppressed his fellow citizens. Under President Reagan in the 1980s, you right-wingers went totally into the tank for apartheid, Al. You abandoned the ideals for which America fought its own revolution and civil war. To Nelson Mandela, the United States was an accomplice in his imprisonment, and you were one of his jailers, Al. Whatever else we say about Gaddafi, Castro, and Arafat, and I agree they're bad apples, it's not hard to understand why Nelson Mandela refuses to condemn them or his communist supporters now. They sided with him in his darkest hour, when you were siding with apartheid. You're no one to be throwing stones, Al. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Medical research is suffering because of the Bush administration's long delay in choosing a director for the National Institutes of Health. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the administration moved rapidly to fill the vacancy on the Supreme Court. Why can't they do the same for the vacancy in the job of director of the National Institutes of Health? NIH is the cornerstone of medical research, but it's been almost a year since the director's slot became vacant. The cause of the delay is the administration's heavy-handed and insulting attempt to give the far right an ideological veto over the appointment. One eminent scientist withdrew from consideration when pressed for his views on fetal tissue research and abortion. These inept attempts to find a new director have become a major embarrassment. NIH and the nation's medical research are suffering. Tell the administration to end its disarray, Al. Drop those demeaning litmus tests and name a director worthy of NIH at its best.
Ted, you got to be the last one to talk about litmus tests. When you're the first to challenge any Republican appointment if they don't match your own liberal bias. Have you forgotten Robert Bork and Bill Lucas? I was going to tell you to get off your high horse, but I see it's only a donkey. As for the real problem of finding a new director for NIH, maybe if the government saw fit to pay some real pro what they're worth, somebody would want the job. The director earns about $85,000, while most deans at any medical college earn over twice that amount. Ted, government service shouldn't become a charity where only rich people can join in and be players. If you want the best minds to lead our nation's agencies and organizations, then pay them more than they do a rookie catcher in the majors. Maybe it's time to consider those appointments just as we do federal judges, for life, tenured, and insulated from petty, nasty, and pretentious politics. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on whether the Soviet Union deserves a lower interest rate than American farmers. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Why should American taxpayers subsidize loans to the Soviet Union that offer interest rates lower than what we give to American farmers? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, the Senate just finished up work on a 5-year farm bill. Besides setting future policy for food inspection, price support, soil conservation, the bill also promotes expanding of exports to boost America's ag products overseas. But you really surprised your old pal here, Ted, when you voted against an amendment to help our American farmers get the same low interest rate that U.S. banks give to the Soviet Union. Nobody's saying the Soviets shouldn't be allowed to participate in our export programs. We learned the hard way there. But for heaven's sake, Ted, let's just make sure that American financial institutions, which are insured by U.S. taxpayers, don't cut the Soviets a better deal than what they give our own folks right here at home. So tell us, Ted, why did you vote against American farmers in favor of the Kremlin?
Al, you missed that pitch by a country mile. You chased a curveball by Senator Jesse Helms. His pitch had nothing to do with low-interest loans for U.S. farmers and everything to do with bashing the Soviet Union by blocking low-interest loans for Russians buying U.S. products. Senator Helms is still fighting the Cold War, Al, and it looks like you are too. But it's a lonely fight. Even the Bush administration agrees we need to help Gorbachev restructure the Soviet economy. You missed one other key point in that Cold War skirmish, Al. Senator Helms concocted the proposal with a gaping loophole. He lets cheap credit continue to be available for Russians to purchase U.S. agricultural products, but nothing else. Why discriminate against all other U.S. goods? That's not fair. You mean well, Al, but you'd better double-check your batting stance on that issue. It looks like Jesse Helms tied your shoes together. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Bush administration is violating the ceiling on U.S. military advisors in El Salvador. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, a new report from the respected Congressional General Accounting Office strips bare any pretense that the Bush administration is complying in good faith with the current limit of 55 U.S. military advisors in El Salvador. The limit was imposed by President Reagan in 1983 under heavy pressure from Congress to reduce the U.S. role in El Salvador and prevent a Vietnam in our own hemisphere. According to the study, an average of about 100 U.S. personnel are based in El Salvador, almost twice the permitted level. Even the U.S. Special Forces, who trained the notorious Salvador Battalion involved in the murder of the Jesuit priest last November, weren't counted at all. That's preposterous, Al. Teach the administration to count and to come clean on El Salvador.
Obsessed about El Salvador, aren't you, Ted? Not only can the administration count, it cares about numbers that really matter. You can moan about 55 guys if you want, but why not tell the American people about the number that counts, 70,000, which is the scorecard of those El Salvadorians that have lost their lives since that brutal conflict began. Ted, the respected group America's Watch released a report saying that the rebels in El Salvador, your lefty pals, even refused to honor the Geneva Convention. Specifically, the report accused the rebels of dishing out gangland-style execution of government officials. Ted, stop banging your dish about the administration and the American military. Just for once, why don't you condemn the cruel rebel forces that have literally torn El Salvador apart, or the thousands of military advisors sent by the bearded boob in Cuba to make fun of our 55 fine Americans? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on a screwy plan in Congress to burden America's energy supply with a carbon tax. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. America's energy industry is facing tough times, but that hasn't stopped real dreamers in Congress from calling for a carbon tax. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, America's energy industry is face to face with crisis. We import more than 50% of our oil. Nuclear power hasn't seen a new plant start since 79, and the price of coal and oil and natural gas is so low that thousands have lost their jobs. Ted, we could sure use a national energy policy right now, but instead there's crazy talk in Congress for a carbon tax on the nation's entire energy supply. This weird tax would be placed on the production of any fuel which creates carbon dioxide. And so nutty is the idea that the tax on coal would be more than the price of coal on the open market. Tell me, please, how is that fair? Instead of breathing new life into our energy industries, a carbon tax would only snuff out any hope we may have for America becoming energy independent. Or do you Northeasterners even care, Ted?
Old anti-environment Al is popping off again. You're blowing only one horn of our energy dilemma. The reason the carbon tax is being mentioned in the budget summit and widely discussed in Europe is its environmental benefit. Burning fossil fuels, coal, oil, and natural gas cause the greenhouse effect and the worsening problem of global warming. The carbon tax hits coal hardest because for a given amount of energy, coal produces the most carbon dioxide and the worst global warming. Other energy taxes are also being considered at the budget summit, such as an oil import tax, a gasoline tax, an oil tax, and attacks on all forms of energy. Each has advantages and disadvantages. It's not clear any will be chosen, but let's debate the alternatives fairly, Al, without your anti-environmental bias. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on assault weapons. Let's ban them, lock, stock, and barrel. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Bush administration has surrendered again to the gun lobby. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, a year ago, the Bush administration did the right thing on gun control. It took a step toward restoring law and order and ending the arms race in our city streets. The administration stood up to the National Rifle Association and banned imports of assault rifles into the United States. But the gun lobby fought back, and the administration buckled. They shamefully refused to ban assault rifles made in the USA, which are 75% of the market. Now they've buckled to the gun lobby again. Foreign gun manufacturers made cosmetic changes in the AK-47s and other assault rifles and asked again to sell them in the United States. The Bush administration went along with this trickery. They say the redesigned weapons can be legally imported. What gives, Al? How can we wage a successful war on crime if the administration keeps surrendering to the gun lobby?
Ted, you should stop trying to use fear and guilt to win a point that isn't real. The import ban on assault weapons was meaningless as a solution to the real problem of violent crime in the U.S. Let's not forget that only 1% of all the weapons used in America's crimes are long guns. 1%. And for all your rattling about redesigned weapons now being legal to import, just how is it tricky when a company only complies with the very law you yourself had voted for? Come on, Ted. The truth of the matter is that even though the foreign manufacturers have complied with the many changes forced on them by you and your liberal cronies, none of them are exporting those guns to the U.S. Why? Too darn expensive. So stop shouting fire in a crowded theater, Ted. You mumble and groan about the gun lobby. At least they don't use trickery and distortion to make their point. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on cutting the capital gains tax as a way to helping working men and women. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Lowering of the capital gains tax will help the working men and women of America far more than giving to the rich another tax break. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, you always beat your chest about helping out the working man and woman, but when will your rhetoric catch up with reality? You go goofy about a cut in the capital gains rate and call it a tax break for the rich. But you also know full well that cutting the capital gains tax will do great things for economic stability and the job security of every American. At a time when the economy is slowing a bit, the country needs a good charge of fresh capital to fuel new growth. And while you play Robin Hood in the forest, you're letting the fire in the old cottage stove go out, Ted. And if the cowardly economic policies of a Democrat-controlled Congress allow the economy to stall, the very men and women you always claim to champion will be out of work, out of luck, and looking for jobs that don't exist.
Al, the economy may be sick, but it takes a wonderfully Republican mind to think the cure is a capital gains tax cut for the rich. That's trickle-down economics at its worst. Help the rich and hope the benefits trickle down to everyone else. Hogwash, Al. Trickle-down economics didn't save Herbert Hoover, and it won't save George Bush. You can't bail out the economy by bailing out the rich. Under the Bush proposal for a capital gains tax cut, 83% of the benefits go to taxpayers earning over $100,000 a year. 66% go to taxpayers earning over $200,000 a year. Their average tax cut would be $15,000, Al. It's no free lunch either. It costs the Treasury a bundle, over $11 billion in the next 5 years. With the deficits we already have, Al, you want to pile up even more? No way. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the Circle of Poison, dangerous pesticide residues on imported food. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. It's time to break the circle of poison that threatens to contaminate our food supply with pesticides. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, a worthwhile feature of the Farm Bill that passed the Senate last month is a long overdue provision to break the so-called circle of poison. That's the loophole in current law that permits U.S. manufacturers to export dangerous pesticides for agricultural use in other countries, even though they're banned in the United States because the deadly residues they leave on food can cause cancer and other serious illnesses. The problem is that these exported pesticide poisons come full circle. They're used on foods produced in other countries, especially fruit and vegetables, which are then shipped back to the markets in the United States, pesticide residues and all. The Farm Bill stops the circle of poison. It bans the export of pesticides if their use is prohibited in the United States. Whose side are you on, Al? Pesticides or public health?
Ted, the Farm Bill we just passed in the Senate did go a long way in recognizing the need to curb unreasonable use of pesticides. I voted for it, and generally it's a pretty good bill. The reason is simple why some ag chemicals made in the U.S. and shipped overseas without FDA approval come back here for use in America. They're used on crops we don't grow here. Unless Massachusetts suddenly whomps up a climate for growing bananas, the FDA has no reason to register any pesticide which they now use in tropical Brazil. That's why many of these chemicals are not approved. It's not because they're any more dangerous than what we spray on our own crops here at home. Instead of facing off, maybe you should be facing up, Ted, to reality. America has some very heavy restrictions on the amount of chemical residue that any imported foods can have. When foods don't meet those standards, they don't get in. Sounds right to me. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on Congress's plan to stick taxpayers with the cost of running for the House and the Senate. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Congress can't solve the nation's budget crisis, but it has a brand new spending plan for you. Congressional campaigns paid for by you, the taxpayer. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, taxpayers do deserve some breaks. Isn't it enough that they're getting the bill for the Democrats sucking up all the savings and loan PAC money? They're tired of the bailout and the budget deficit, but now you and your left-wing visionary chums want taxpayers to pick up the cost of congressional campaigns. Ted, you're not fooling a soul trying to pass this turkey off as campaign reform. Bad enough that taxpayers had to toady up $500 million to help finance the last three presidential races. Instead of hitting on the real issues of campaign reform, getting rid of PACs, prohibiting soft or sewer money, limiting out-of-state contributions, the Democrats don't want to just pass the buck. They want to spend it first. Taxpayers have enough of a burden without sticking them with the cost of a lot of well-off congressmen running for office.
Al, you couldn't be more wrong. Public financing of elections is the wisest investment in the country's future that any taxpayer will ever make. It's like what Winston Churchill said about democracy. Public financing may not be the ideal way of doing things, but it's better than any of the alternatives, especially the ones you mentioned, Al. You'd still leave elections on the auction block, for sale to special interest groups and fat cat campaign contributors. We've already got public financing for some elections, Al. Under the innovative leadership of Senator Russell Long of Louisiana, we adopted it in the 1970s to clean up presidential elections after Watergate. We've used it in every presidential campaign since 1976. It's worked brilliantly each time. Even Ronald Reagan used it in 1980 and 1984, and George Bush used it in 1988. If public financing is good enough for presidential elections, Al, it's good enough for Congress. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.